Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Markowitz. We're your host for this weekend's edition. On this weekend's show, we're going to do our best to recap really the trading in the metals and the markets that happened throughout last month, the month of May, and look ahead to some of the key drivers for, let's say, this month and the second half of the year. We're kicking off the show with Richard Bosma, a.k.a. Doc. This is our end of the month monthly call where we recap some of the monthly moves and get Doc's assessment for where he sees markets going, metals and markets going next month, as well as throughout the rest of this year. Doc, I know a lot of our listeners want us to start with the precious metals, so we will start with gold. Look, gold down again this month. 2 months in a row that gold has been down. It still is, for the most part, about flat on the year. Now it's actually a little bit down on the year, but quite frankly, gold is, I guess, hanging in there in a sense. But fact of the matter is, we've seen a lot of pressure on the stocks. Before we get into the stocks, Doc, let's talk about gold. Close the month right around that 18, let's say, 40 level, a little under 18.40. What's your assessment of where gold goes from here?
Well, Corey, I think that gold could kind of, for another week or two, just hang around at this point. It may move up a little bit more. If we close up around where we are this week, that's 2 weeks where we've had two closing highs. So if we get a third one, and then that starts to put it at risk. But on the weekly chart, kind of shows that gold may just move sideways here for a couple of weeks until the 26-week moving average catches up with the 16 or the 12-week moving average, and then for gold to maybe start down again. But right now, it's kind of into a little trading range of its own here, and it could last that way for a little while.
Well, Doc, we were talking a little bit before we started recording today, and you could see gold in the medium term heading down maybe into the 1700s. So my question would be, there's very strong support at 1780, and that was one of those higher lows on the longer-term bull. And then there's a low underneath that, a higher low at 1721. Do you think either of those levels are within threat of being broken to the downside should this correction last longer than people think?
Yeah, I think, and I've said this before, that when we've, on a monthly chart, when we've had this long a correction, it is so unusual for it not to challenge the lower Bollinger Band. And if you look at the monthly chart, we have finally moved into a beautiful sideways trading range. And currently, the lower Bollinger Band is right around 1700. And if you look at the ADX, which is a strength indicator, the black line moved up recently, and now it's starting to move a little laterally, and it could start moving down gently again. But the red line, which is a bearish line, and the green line are last month trended toward each other, and we could have 1 month like that again where they would trend toward each other and actually end up in apposition to each other, where they're touching for the first time in months. So June could be a tough month yet for gold, even though we might start out the month where we're moving a little sideways for the first 2 weeks.
dot quick comment on the stocks then. We're seeing GDX, GDXJ, they sold off at the end of today, rebounded in the last hour, but they closed the week fairly weakly. And look, again, we are seeing pressure on the stocks. What's newer about this pressure on the stocks is that we're also seeing it hit some of the larger miners, because the larger miners earlier this year were still doing quite well. Now it seems like weakness is across the board in the stocks. What's your takeaway from that?
Well, you know, that doesn't surprise me because, you, as you're well aware, and if you listen to Kitco, as you're aware, everybody talks about how undervalued or how cheap they say that the junior miners are, and they are. And, you know, and the mid-tiers are starting to break down more. So, you know, eventually it's got to affect these large cap companies, and you're starting to see that. And you're totally correct about GDX and GDXJ. Not a good sign today the way they finished the day, because it looks like they're going to start to move down here again. And that seems to always predate the actual metal move. And if you look at the weekly chart on GDX and GDXJ, they are in a trend down, and it'll be interesting if they can, especially GDX, bottom at about 30 again and then hold its own. But that's going to be a multiple time if they do, where they are challenging the 200-week moving average. And I'll tell you what, if GDX takes that out and closes below it a couple of weeks, GDX is in trouble then. So that's what we're going to find out during June, whether the 200-week moving average can hold again.
Well, Doc, do you feel that some of the move down that we've seen in the miners, since it's been so much more extreme than the metals, and we normally see that outperformance both to the upside and downside in miners, but do you think they were already anticipating the move down we were going to see in the metals and that most of the damage has been inflicted? Or do you still see there being a potential for a lot of these mining stocks to even slide further, specifically the juniors? They're already pretty beat up. Could they go lower?
Some of the juniors could actually go a little bit lower yet. I think they have probably one more little downside, and we were talking off mic about that. And you take some of these and you say 10 or 20%, which seems like a lot, but they're so low now, you're talking about pennies. But that could happen once again. And if it does, that means the mid-tier most likely and the high-cap stocks are going to break down too. And then it's a matter of them breaking down to the point where then this carnage is over. And you can bet that for some of these companies, it's going to be a great buying opportunity.
Yeah, some of these stocks, they're approaching cash in the bank valuations, which I know seems cheap, but we have actually seen stocks, again, trade for under cash in the bank. I don't think we're quite in that environment yet, but hopefully we don't get there. Doc, quick question regarding a pretty major M&A transaction that was announced just today as we're recording this later in the day on Tuesday. Goldfields acquiring Yamana. I know you're a shareholder of one of those companies. This is just another example of two majors combining in the sector. It's hard to really decipher if this is good or bad for the sector, especially for the juniors, because we haven't seen any money trickle down to the juniors. So I guess that kind of makes it neutral at best. But what's your takeaway from that transaction and this general trend of majors combining with majors?
Yeah, well, back I bought some Yamana again. I had sold my position when it took off a long time ago, and I bought back just a little bit, and that kind of surprised me. And we talked about this. I would have thought maybe Yamana would have purchased Goldfields. As usual, the purchaser just got crushed today. Goldfields is down almost $3, and I actually like that, because if it keeps breaking down, then I'll buy Goldfields, although the Yamana debt situation is questionable. and I owned Goldfields quite a while ago, but Goldfields is finally starting to look attractive again. But it did surprise me because I thought maybe it would be the other way around where Yamana would purchase Goldfields.
All right, we're out of time for this segment, everyone, but we are having Doc on next segment, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits. At least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Just as a note for everyone listening on the radio, this was actually a daily editorial that we posted earlier in the week, right as the month turned over. So if you want to listen to the full interview, because these are simply highlights of the interview due to time constraints within the radio segments, please visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting and listen to all of segments 1 and 2. Now, Doc, before we leave the precious metals, quick question regarding silver. Look, silver's holding just above, let's say, $21, but it's coming real close to having a weekly close in my eyes that is pretty devastating. The lowest weekly close that I see in almost 2 years is $21. That happened in May of this year. Again, we're at like $21.50 right now. How worrisome are we about silver leading the way lower?
I think there's a good odds that it could do that. I do not like the looks of the weekly chart or the monthly chart on silver. And I think we can move down a little bit and then just hover above the 200-week moving average. It's kind of like we talked before about another chart. And if it breaks below 200 weeks for a couple, 3 weeks, we're in deep trouble with silver. And so we've got to have it hold there. And so it's acting very suspicious right now, frankly. And it looks like this month we're going to close at the lowest close we've had in silver since about 8 months ago or 7 months. So it's a new low close. And that is not a positive thing right now for silver. Plus, the momentum in silver on the monthly chart is still above zero. And so it looks like it's going to want to move down towards zero or even sub-zero before we see the low in silver. So that means more pressure on silver, I'm afraid. I hope that's not true. But it's going to get dicey here right now. We're at a big inflection point right now for silver.
Well, then based on that, Doc, would you be more concerned about a pullback in the silver stocks over the gold stocks? And then conversely, once things bottom, would you expect the silver stocks to outperform to the upside?
That could happen, actually. And I think silver is at more risk than gold. And because I look at some of these silver stocks that I don't think have bottomed yet based on the technicals I'm seeing. So it makes sense that silver may be under more pressure than gold and that those stocks move lower toward their double bottoms of 2020 or March of 2020. And I think that's very possible in the next 2-3 months. And I would think that would happen, by the way, because there's some really good companies that haven't reached that double bottom.
All right, Doc. So it really sounds like everything is under pressure. U.S. markets, precious metals. We've even seen base metals looking weaker. Let's talk about interest rates then, because even interest rates have pulled back a little bit. We've seen a little bounce in the bond market. We have the 10-year at about 2.84%, which is off of highs that were over 3%, really not that long ago, just over a month ago. So a little bit more money coming into the bond market, maybe a more defensive play. Bond market moves also tie in very closely to what the Fed is doing, and the Fed is pretty much locked in 2 more 50-basis-point hikes. Where do you see interest rates in the bond market going from this level?
Well, I think we've really broken some really good support for the bond market. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of rally here pretty soon in the bond market. But I don't think it's going to hold. I think we have a lot more to move down in the bond market, frankly. I wouldn't be surprised if the bond market moves down to eventually test its 200-month moving average. And that's a little bit ways to go yet. And so I think the bond market is not done with its descent. And that, of course, fits very well into the fact that the Fed is raising rates. And I think as long as the stock market move down is orderly, and as long as the credit markets hold up fairly well. There's nothing to stop the Fed from continuing to raise rates.
Well, Doc, providing that it is more orderly as far as the corrective move in the markets and the credit markets don't get hit and they keep hiking, if interest rates were to keep rising, just normal interest rates, not just the Fed funds rate, because of bonds selling off, isn't there a point where that puts the brakes on the economy, though? Because if you have interest rates rise too much, mortgage rates go up. The cost of borrowing for a car loan goes up. The cost of putting things on credit goes up. And the consumers are already getting pinched with high inflationary prices. So isn't there a point where if those rates keep ratcheting higher and higher, it puts a brake on the economy?
Absolutely. And in fact, the housing market and the mean price of homes is still rising a little bit. But that really is due to the fact that those with significant amounts of money that can still afford to buy houses, whereas it's the market underneath $400,000 for homes that is starting to feel it now. And those are the homes that you're no longer seeing multiple offers or escalation clauses for. I just talked to a couple of realtors about that, and they're starting to see the same topping for the lower end of the market, but it hasn't quite moved to the upper end of the market yet either. Now, the thing is, the only way the Fed is going to impact inflation, frankly, is that they're going to have to decrease the wealth effect. And unfortunately, that means that they're going to have to impact housing, and they're going to have to impact the stock market. And we aren't even to that point yet. They're going to have to really impact how people psychologically look at these markets. So we're not even close to that yet, especially with the stock market, especially with this move higher. So, like I said, as long as it appears to them to be orderly, they're going to continue to raise because they have to impact the wealth effect. And unfortunately, that means recession, which we probably are already in, but they'll look the other way as far as that's concerned with a negative GDP.
Yeah, Doc, I think you're right. We have been saying and cautioning people, don't listen to those saying that the Fed is going to switch course next meeting or tomorrow for that matter and start injecting money into the system. This seems like the Fed is pretty stuck on hiking rates, and it's no simpler than when you pull out liquidity from the market and, quite frankly, stop with the easy money policies. Well, markets move down, and quite frankly, now it's pulling everything down. Doc, we're going to wrap it up here. I really think you have depressed enough people with this interview. I do appreciate your outlook, but boy, oh boy, this year, it's already been tough for investors, and we're not quite halfway through it. Sounds like it's going to continue to be tough for the rest of this year. Doc, I always enjoy your comments. Thank you for taking time, sharing your honest outlooks on these markets. Everybody listening on the weekend show, we're going to be right back. And everybody who listens to this on a daily editorial, please, as always, send us your comments and questions for Doc. Doc, thanks again for your time, man. Have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. A survivor of the Texas school shooting is taking the first steps in filing a lawsuit. Amy Martin is targeting Daniel Defense, which made the gun. Her court filing this week seeks a deposition to determine if the company can be sued. Former advisor to President Trump, Peter Navarro, has been indicted by a federal grand jury for refusing to cooperate with the Democratic-led House committee investigating last year's Capitol attack. Outside a federal courthouse in Washington, D.C., Navarro says the committee was not legally impaneled.
The subpoenas issued by the committee are ultra vires, unlawful, and unenforceable.
Navarro adding it's a kangaroo court and saying he's filed a civil suit against the House panel. This is USA Radio News. Reaction continuing to come in to President Biden's speech regarding gun control on Thursday night. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz tells Fox News when President Biden was vice president, he and the Democrats shot down Senator Cruz's proposed gun reform bill.
Part of my legislation, the Grassley-Cruz legislation, was $300 million for school safety, which could have perhaps prevented this horrific crime in Uvalde, and Joe Biden and the Democrats filibustered that legislation.
Biden saying he wants to raise the age to 21 to buy a firearm. One-third of Ukraine's population has fled in the first 100 days of the Russian invasion. That's according to the UN Refugee Agency, which tweeted a video marking this point in the conflict. It featured a child refugee saying, "There is nothing more scary in the world than war." This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Richard Postma. I know, a little depressing, some of his technical outlooks, but one thing you can't deny is how accurate Doc has been with a lot of his technical forecasts. And quite frankly, it all ties into this whole narrative that we seem to still be fairly early on in this market-driven bear market. We are chatting in this segment with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, let's elaborate on that concept here, this U.S. equity market, bear market. The market's pretty much every average, broad average, dropped to right around 20% down. The NASDAQ was more down than that this year. And they have rebounded over the last about week to two. Generally a bear market rally, this looks like. But what's your takeaway from what seems to be an early on, very orderly bear market right now?
Well, yeah, I think people have been looking for this capitulation. I include myself in one of them. It's really hard to get a sustainable bottom in the stock markets. I mean, even an intermediate term kind of trading bottom, unless you see the sort of washout signals, you know, high volume on the S&P 500, a steep, you know, 5-day rate of change in the advanced decline line. I mean, there's tons of indicators to look at that show a level of fear. I mean, you can just look at the fear index, look at the VIX, and a lot of none of these things. I mean, I didn't see a single indicator point to a sustainable trading low in the last month or so, even though we had all that weakness in May.
What we did have is some technical signs like, divergences between the indexes, S&P 500 and NASDAQ made new lows. Small caps, the NYSE composite didn't. I look at things like, corporate spreads didn't make new highs. The VIX didn't make a new high. So you had a lot of, and sentiment was really, really negative. So you had a lot of these things pointing to a rally, but I don't think it's a, anything that's sustainable just because we haven't seen the type of capitulation that you do normally see at longer term bottoms. Now, the problem that I have also with this idea of capitulation is that everybody is looking for it, right? And so long as everybody's looking for capitulation and this chance to get long, I mean, to me, that's a very clear contrarian signal that people are still in this buy the dip mentality. And I don't think they appreciate just how significant the deterioration, the risk that inflation presents to equities right now is serious, and it's on two fronts. We can get into those if you want to.
Well, Jesse, I think that's a great point, because if everybody's waiting for the capitulation move so they can get long, we haven't really washed things out enough. It's when nobody wants to buy, when everybody throws their hands up in despair and walks away, that we normally see a capitulative bottom. But I'd like to back up the clock a little bit to last year when you were talking about the signals you were watching, as you just kind of outlined there in the intro. You were watching different signals last year, like the new 52-week lows, the Hindenburg omens, the amount of insiders that were selling, some of the weakness in the Russell, some of the weakness in the underlying breadth indicators. And I guess overall, have you seen those signals change enough where you would say on the reverse side, hey, we now are safe, it's all clear? It seems like those trends are still well in place.
Absolutely. And one that you didn't mention, and I think it might be the most important one of all right now, is I wrote a blog post towards the end of last year and kind of wrote an update back in March where I suggested the stock market might be in the early days of discounting an earnings recession. And I think that's where we're at. I think when you look back to the dot-com mania, stock market started weakening 4, 5, 6 months before it became apparent that earnings were in trouble. But there was a very clear signal that earnings recession was ahead. And that was simply the fact, Stan Druckenmiller pointed this out, simply the fact that interest rates, oil prices, and the dollar had been surging for a period of time. The year-over-year change in all of those was very, very significant to the upside. That puts a lot of pressure on corporate earnings, and that's exactly what we've seen over the last year and a half, 2 years. Rapidly rising interest rates, oil prices, and the dollar. And so all three of those things have been pointing to a pretty significant earnings recession ahead. And like I said, back then in 2000, the stock market started to roll over even before analysts started to cut earnings estimates. And so stocks started to fall, and then analysts went, oh, shoot, we're starting to see this come out in the data. They had to cut earnings estimates. And when that happened, then you got the next leg of the bear market lower. And I think that's we're in between that stage right now. Yes, we've had earnings, terrible earnings reports from Walmart, Netflix, Microsoft warned before the open this morning. And I thought the Microsoft warning was especially important because they said it is the rising dollar that's hurting their earnings this quarter. But the dollar has been going down for almost 3 weeks now. So if the dollar was going to be a pain for their earnings this quarter, they knew about it when they released their last earnings report. So something else is going on here, and it's not just the dollar. It's oil prices. It's labor costs, all of these things. You look at the other forward indicator I look at for earnings is, small businesses. The difference between optimism in the quarters to come and the small businesses that are mentioning, this is the NFIB survey, mentioning rising labor costs. And that is a very good leading indicator for profit margins. And right now that indicator is at all-time lows, testing all-time lows. And so the small businesses are telling you our profit margins are in trouble. That is a good leading indicator for S&P 500 profit margins. And then you have these macro dynamics. And so I think what investors don't appreciate today is that if earnings are going to come down, then P/E ratios are still way too high right now.
That's an interesting point, because there is the argument that PE ratios have come down a little bit with this pullback in the markets, but if the earnings then drop, well, then it can get out of line again. To your point about small businesses, we even saw some of the jobs data this week that small businesses actually shed jobs, which is a bit disappointing, but just goes to show how tough it is for the small businesses to garner the talent that they need. Jesse, isn't this also all about the Fed continuing to tighten and the Fed not having investors' backs? That's been a major driver for the last decade plus, and now the Fed seems to be more focused on inflation and okay with letting the markets fall. We just don't know how far they're willing to go with the fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. It's actually even worse than that. And I don't think this is something my friend Julian Brigden's been pointing out for months and months and months, that it's not about the Fed being willing to let markets fall. It's the Fed needs to make the market fall. Right. What everybody looks to, the Fed included, is the financial conditions index. And financial conditions, you know, the two main components of that are stock prices and corporate spreads. And so to enact or affect a tightening of financial conditions, the Fed needs to stop the stock market to fall and they need spreads to widen. And what the Fed has said, and James Bullard has been very vocal about this, saying that if financial conditions, you know, if inflation doesn't come in significantly, the Fed is going to need to push against the stock market. They're going to need to be more aggressive in terms of their hawkish policy. So they're directly targeting the stock market. I think that's the important point that many investors miss, is not only do they not have the investors' backs, not only is the Fed put expired, they need to push the stock market lower in order to try and bring inflation in. I mean, that's just the simple dynamics of how financial conditions work.
Oh, man, what a different financial world we are living in right now, with central banks seemingly okay with watching markets fall and seemingly needing markets to fall to bring back into line some of the other data, inflation especially, that they are so concerned about. We'll see how long the Fed and other central banks can stick to these policies. But again, we haven't seen this sort of, it seems like, determination from central banks to pull back markets and slow down the economy. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Do you fear getting COVID? I've had COVID four times over 2 years now, and it is very easy to eliminate from my body. We've all heard the several nutritional and medical recommendations on how to protect from COVID. However, no one is talking about the one I've found to be the most effective. I've had two clients debilitated with COVID symptoms for days or months take our Green Meadow Whey protein powder and feel either 100% well or much better in the first 24 hours. That's a faster recovery than offered by any medication or other nutritional supplement. Green Meadow Whey is naturally rich in the protein called lactoferrin. Non-denatured lactoferrin is a protein that binds to viruses and cell receptor sites so they cannot enter the cell, as well as defends the body against bacteria, fungi, parasites, and supports abdominal fat loss. I have found that nature always has a superior answer to any health challenge. Let Green Meadow Whey empower your body and immunity to the highest levels of health. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's B-E-S-T-W-H-E-Y protein.net or call 888-988-3325.
All right, everyone, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, refocusing back on the markets here. Look, there aren't a whole lot of sectors that are doing very well. However, one really stands out, and that is the energy sector. Oil, you can argue, had kind of a midweek breakout this week when it made a run to close to 120 on the crude contract. I know that's below where it spiked in March, but if you take out that early March spike, this is just a continued uptrend for oil. We keep hearing positive comments about energy, and one thing to consider is that China was shut down. U.S. was releasing oil from the strategic reserve, and it didn't really do anything to the oil price. What's your takeaway on how the oil market's setting up?
Well, you know, back in, you know, the trend in oil has been very clear. Back in the fall of last year, October, I wrote a piece just pointing out that the oil price was breaking above its long-term downtrend line, right? That goes back to the, you know, the peak back in 2008 or something like that. We broke above that downtrend line. That was a very clear signal that oil prices were breaking out of a long-term range, which is about one of the most bullish things you can ever see. Then, you know, with the onset of the war in Ukraine, we saw oil price spike, and then it consolidated, right? It consolidated, you know, from about mid-March, early March, until early May. And then around, you know, May 5, 6, the way I look at it, oil price broke out of a pennant pattern, which is just a, you know, continuation pattern, broke to the upside, that little consolidation pattern, which is another very clear signal that the trend is upward. And the fact that oil prices continue upward, even as OPEC Plus is raising quotas and the Chinese economy was completely shut down, or a large part of it, it just tells you what this how bullish the supply demand setup is right now, even with, you know, raising supplies, like you said, releasing just massive amounts from the SPR, and with demand crimped, you know, from the Chinese shutdown, you know, we're seeing oil prices continue higher. So you couldn't have a more bullish message from the oil price itself. Now, when you look at the Commitment of Traders report too, you don't see any, nobody's long. Speculators are not long oil prices. There is no excess bullishness built into the price at all. In fact, they're underinvested. And at the same time, you have producers that aren't selling forward any product. So there's a high degree of confidence from the smart money that oil prices are going to continue head higher. And sentiment hasn't become, you know, overly bullish. So there's probably plenty of upside ahead as we enter into the summer driving season. And we have supplies of distillates and everything at record lows. It's a setup for much higher prices, I think.
Well, Jesse, what's your take on the rest of the commodity complex? Because energy has been a standout, not just oil, but nat gas, gasoline, diesel fuel. They've all done quite well. But we've seen a big move in the commodities over the last year or two. I mean, if you look at where things were trading 2 or 3 years ago, pre-pandemic, and where they are now, almost all the metals are significantly higher. So are all the grains. But we've seen a pullback since some of the Ukraine fears, you know, or some of the Ukraine, I guess, push in the commodities has worn off. But they are still holding their ground. What's your medium to longer term outlook on the commodity space?
Long term, I mean, you know, I just come back to a chart that I shared almost 2 years ago now, that I got from my friends at Gehring and Rosenzweig. And I called it a generational opportunity in commodities. And you just look at the commodities, you know, Bloomberg spot commodities index relative to, you know, the Dow Jones Industrial Average or any other kind of long term indicator you want. And we were at record lows on that index. In other words, commodities had never been cheaper relative to financial assets ever in history. And so we've only begun to claw back a tiny, tiny bit on that chart, right? So that price, commodities price relative to financial assets is still deeply, dramatically undervalued. And so I think we are still in the very early days of commodity super cycle. And, you know, until you have people calling for, we all know what the end of a bull market looks like, right? We just saw it in the stock market. People, you know, talking about stonks only go up and calling for all these different things to go to the moon, AMC to the moon, GameStop to the moon. When people have that same attitude towards commodities, then it'll be, you know, when people become greedy in commodities, it will finally be time to become fearful. But we're nowhere near that place right now. And so, nobody thinks, you know, the oil price could go to record highs. Nobody's calling for it. Until we get those types of forecasts, this bull market's nowhere near over.
Jesse, what's it going to take to finally get investors into the stocks then? Because as much as broadly commodity prices are higher, some of the majors have done well, but everything else seems to have been left behind and forgotten.
Well, it's a function of two things. I think it's one, so much money's in passive these days. Just more and more money is flowing into passive. Even this year, with active managers performing really, really well, money's still just funneling out of actively managed funds and into passive.
Do you think this is a generational thing? Because we have heard of everybody seeming to be focused on passive, and that's a very good point, but we don't seem to be seeing people change that strategy even after a COVID washout and now an early on bear market.
Well, I'll tell you what will change it, right? I mean, it's going to be a major bear market, but it's also going to be, I mean, look at the outperformance of energy relative to, I mean, it's the only sector that's up this year. And it's up massively. If you own the S&P 500, you have you had at the beginning of the year a 3% allocation to energy, right? I mean, that's why the S&P 500 is down. Is because you have a massive underweight, and that's how the index works. It's a momentum-based thing. So energy goes down, you make it a smaller and smaller allocation, and it compounds. It's a vicious cycle. Just as the opposite, you know, you put money pours into the index, and it goes all into the highest weightings of the index. And so all of those, get money flowing in. You know, you have the NVIDIAs, the Teslas, the Microsofts, the Apples. And so momentum feeds on itself. But there's going to come a time where investors, and I think we're very, very close to it, honestly, where investors realize, wait a second, this momentum-based strategy worked great in an environment of low interest rates and low inflation. And when the Fed could afford to have the markets back. But now if we are in a different environment in which we can't count on low interest rates forever, we can't count on inflation just continuing to disinflate for years and years on end, and the Fed being enabled to support financial assets to try and support the economy. If we're in a different environment, we have to act differently. So what worked over the last 10, 20, 40 years doesn't work anymore. And so the flip side of the, as my friend Diego Perilla would call it, the bubbles in financial assets and stocks and bonds, the flip side of that is anti-bubbles in things like volatility and real assets, namely precious metals. And so, the gold price should be much higher today. It's not. Just like equity valuations should be much lower today. I mean, dramatically lower, but they're not. And this is the fact, this is just a function of people still operating under the old playbook, right? This old playbook that worked for 40 years. And it's going to take a while for people to realize, okay, this, we need to throw this playbook in the trash. It doesn't work in this new environment. And when they do finally abandon that, and it's going to be a process, you know, over a period of months and years, probably there's going to be a shift from financial assets out of the 60-40 portfolio and into things like real estate, commodities, and precious metals. And I think that's why I'm more excited about precious metals today than I have been in, you know, probably since 2015-16.
Well, I guess we'll see when investors do change that playbook. But what you're talking about here, Jesse, is a multi-generational almost change that we would see. Who knows if that's actually going to play out this bear market, or if the Fed is going to come in and save the markets again and buy the dip is going to work again. Either way, it does seem like we are early on in this bear market, but we have seen at least some rotation and some money. It looks like freeing up going into some of, again, some more defensive assets and this general bear market rally that we've seen. Jesse, great chatting with you as always, man. We'll chat again probably in about a month's time. Really appreciate your insights. I hope that you have a great rest of your weekend. And everybody, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show focusing on Doc and Jesse Felder's outlook. As always, you can keep in touch with us through email, fleck@kereport.com and chat@kereport.com. Jesse, everybody, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.